Veteran Service meeting is now in order. Representative Anderson, Chair Anderson is sick, so I will be chairing today, so bear with me. All right. Quorum is present. Do we do the oral? You just mark them in? Okay. All right. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting? December 19th? Yeah. Representative Kath moves. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. First bill on the agenda today is House File 1903. Representative Erdahl, are you ready to present your bill?
I am ready.
Is there a motion to move his bill?
I will move House File 1903.
All right. Representative Lemaire moves to hear House File 1903 and send us to pass and be re-referred to State Government Finance. Welcome to the committee, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I hate to say this, but I just have a simple little bill for you today. This concerns Honor Guard burial details not receiving timely stipends of $50 for burials. Payments are often delayed, partial, or possibly denied if charitable gambling is involved in those who are working on this. And this is wrong. This honors veterans who have served their country and in some cases died for their country, and payments should be made promptly. We should show proper support and respect for our heroes by seeing that these stipends are paid promptly.
Discussion, questions? Seeing none, do you have anybody to testify? Nope. All right, Representative Lemaire renews his motion. Anybody else in the audience here to testify for or against this bill? All right, seeing none, Representative Lemaire renews his motion for House File 1903 to pass and be re-referred to State Government Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, just like all my bills, they just go.
Thank you. Next bill on the agenda. Okay, we're going to be to accommodate member schedules. We're going to go a little bit out of sequence. The next bill on the agenda that we will hear is House File 1416, Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there a motion for the chair will move that House File 1416 pass and be re-referred to the Commerce Committee. Representative Grunhagen, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Go ahead.
This bill deals with the technicality. It's clarifying reemployment rights for active service people who are called to duty outside of the state of Minnesota. The bill would ensure that Minnesotans who is a member of another state's National Guard, such as North Dakota, would have the same reemployment rights following activation for a state emergency, flood, or natural disaster as a Minnesota serving with the Minnesota National Guard would have if activated for a Minnesota emergency. I do have one amendment and an oral amendment.
Okay. If you could state your amendment for the committee.
The oral amendment would be to change the date on the bill from July 1, 2011 to July 1, 2012.
Okay, it's the A1.
The written amendment is the 1416A1.
Okay. So it wasn't an oral amendment then?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Grunhagen, members. The A1 amendment simply updates a reference to a cross-reference to a federal law. The new reference would read the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. That's USERRA. there's a lot of familiarization with USERRA, but its predecessor most of us haven't heard of. So that would be on lines 117 and 118, just the technical amendment.
Okay.
So I don't know what you want to deal with first, the oral amendment or the...
We'll do written. the oral amendment first. Or we'll do that one first since it's in everybody's file, right?
Okay.
Is it in everybody's folder? Yeah. Okay. So I would move that then, right?
Yep.
All right. I will move that the A1 amendment pass. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment passes. Okay. With the oral amendment now, Representative Grunhagen?
The oral amendment is just to change the date, at the effective date from July 1, 2011 to July 1, 2012.
Okay. Discussion to the oral amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment passes. Okay, if you can proceed, do you have someone to speak in favor?
Yes, I have Attorney Corey Genlin, who's directly affected by this change. He's a constituent of mine, and I'll allow him to make a few comments in terms of the situation that he finds himself in.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. And
your name for the committee, please?
My name is Corey Genlin.
Okay. If you could spell it for the
sure. Record. First name Cory, last name Genlin.
Thank you.
And by way of disclaimer, the reason I'm aware of this situation is because I am a member of the North Dakota National Guard, and I deal with this a lot. But I need to make it very clear: I am not here today on behalf of the state of North Dakota. I am not here on behalf of the National Guard, Department of Defense, or in any other capacity other than my status as an individual citizen here in Minnesota. However, annually, it seems like annually, we've been activating individuals to serve on state active duty for floods of the Red River in North Dakota. Part of my job as a judge advocate for my unit is to field questions from service members asking, listen, if I get called up, do I get my job back? Most of them are familiar with USERRA, which at the federal level protects them, but that's only if they're called up to federal active duty. There is no federal law that protects people called up to state active duty. North Dakota has a law that protects North Dakotans. Minnesota has a law that protects Minnesotans. But for people like myself who cross state lines, I have to tell those members, I'm sorry, we can't guarantee that you'll have your job back. And I'd like to think this is simply an oversight that we in Minnesota do intend to protect people that choose to serve in the National Guard, and there's really no reason to distinguish between people that serve in a guard of another state. I think I was prepared to speak with Representative Grunhagen last spring and looked at some numbers at that time. Of the roughly just over 1,000 people in our unit at that time, just over 100 were Minnesotans. So it's a minority of our force, but it's not an insignificant minority. When we're calling up people for flood duty or tornado response, this adds just one more small detail that we have to worry about. You know, if a member does say, my employer's giving me a hard time, we try to take that into account and minimize the adverse effects of a mobilization. And if we could remove this, this would be one less thing on our plate at a very busy time.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for clarification, because two things come to mind on this, and I've had one of the questions explained, and that is if you are a Minnesota resident involved in a National Guard in another state, that this law would protect you. Do we need to deal with, or does it affect, you may have some background on this, if you are a member of the Minnesota National Guard where the North Dakota National Guard has made a request to the Minnesota National Guard to come over and to provide some additional aid and assistance, which has happened in the past, does this law cover those individuals, or is that the spirit and intent of what you're trying to do here today?
Mr.
Well,
Gentleman?
I haven't come across that, but just as an employment law attorney reading the text, I suppose if we change, right now it's declared emergency by the proper authority of the state. I believe in the current context, the state refers to Minnesota. So if you had an emergency declared by Wisconsin, but not by Minnesota, and we simply sent some forces. I think the you know, if you were a client walking into my office saying I want to sue my employer because they fired me, looking at that, I would say no, that doesn't protect you. If we change it as suggested to any state, then as long as Wisconsin had declared an emergency, even a Minnesota Guardsman, I believe that would protect them.
Mr. Chair, maybe we can ask Mr. Cleary if he concurs with that assessment.
Mr. Cleary?
Yes. Mr. Chairman and Representative O'Driscoll, I would hate to ever disagree with a JAG officer. having been just a lowly enlisted man in Vietnam. But I agree with what you say, that if changed, it would cover. But I also feel it currently covers, and the reason I say that is because I think if a neighboring state declared an emergency and asked for our help, our own governor would call out those troops to serve under Minnesota authority in the neighboring state. So once called out by our own governor, they would be covered. So it's almost an academic little point, but it's a very good question. I think one way to look at this bill, by the way, is that this bill protects the Minnesota employment of a Minnesotan, even if he happens to be serving outside of the state. It's a good point you raise.
Representative O'Driscoll?
Two things. I appreciate the clarification. I think that Mr. Cleary is being way too humble in his service to our country.
Further discussion to the bill? Seeing none, I will renew my motion for House File 1416 to pass and be re-referred to be referred to the Committee on Commerce. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Chairman, members.
Next bill to be heard today, House File 1819, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr.
This
Chair.
We're going to hear 1819 right now, the yellow ribbon one.
I'm sorry.
Yep, the other one, we want to make sure we have enough time to have adequate discussion on that bill. Representative Detmer, would you like to make a motion or move to bring your bill forward?
I have a delete all amendment. Amendment DE2.
One moment, please.
The DE2 was just handed out.
We have it. Okay.
We got a DE2 amendment.
DE2 amendment.
All right. The amendment before us. Do you want to move that amendment?
I would like to move that amendment, please.
The DE2 is in your file.
Could you explain what the amendment would do, Representative Detmer?
It just looks at the language. We wanted to get the language the way we wanted it, and this is brought forward by the Washington County Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and there were some concerns with some language, and we made those changes, and we wanted to put it in the right form.
Okay. Discussion to the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Amendment passes. Okay. Proceed.
Well, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, as we all know, is a program that's supported by the Minnesota National Guard, and businesses and counties and cities have the opportunity to become part of that program. And I know Washington County, that I represent Northern Washington County, and they have become a Yellow Ribbon county. And I know other counties are looking at it, different businesses are looking at this, cities. I know the city of Hugo that I represent is also Beyond the Yellow Ribbon city. And we're very proud of what these volunteers are doing for our men and women who are serving overseas for their families. And basically it's set up so that if the family has some needs, whether it's plowing snow or doing yard work or whatever it is, any physical needs or any other types of needs, that the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program have people there to serve and to help people out. And I've asked Judy Seeberger, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, to come in and just talk about the Yellow Ribbon program.
Mrs. Seeberger, welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record.
Thank you. Judy Seeberger here on behalf of the Yellow Ribbon Network of Washington County and the Middle St. Croix Yellow Ribbon Network.
Okay, thank you. Proceed.
Thank you, committee. The Yellow Ribbon Networks, as they have been established both within Washington County and Washington County itself, are a unique network of folks whose aim is to assist deployed service members, pre-deployment, post-deployment, and their family members when they are gone. Speaking from experience, my husband just returned from a year-long deployment to the Middle East with the Navy, and I was able to rely on my own Yellow Ribbon Network for the help that I needed. For example, I needed some trees cut down. I needed some help with unloading a semi-delivery of some stuff. And the people were there to help me. The concern and the reasoning behind approaching Representative Detmer for this bill was it's a network of folks. It's we're doing it, you know, out of the goodness of our heart and to help people that need the help. It's on a county level. We oversee the various communities within Washington County. My own personal communities, we are a network of the cities of Bayport, Oak Park Heights, Baytown Township, and West Lakeland Township. And the call can go out countywide, and the people that step up to support it are truly amazing. There's a lot of people out there that want to help, and they just need a direction to do it. Thank you.
Representative Depper.
Yes, Mr. Chair. And the big concern that a lot of these volunteers have is in terms of civil... In terms of if they go on a person's property and something happens there, in terms of liability purposes, so this makes that a little more clear. And I think from this committee, it probably should go on to the Civil Law Committee because they'll want to hear it, and just to make sure that we're doing things the right way. But I want to thank Washington County for bringing this forward because I think it's important that we want to continue to encourage people to be volunteers and be out there helping people.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Do you have anybody else to testify for the bill? Anybody from the audience here to testify for the bill? How about against the bill? None. Discussion? Seeing none, all of those in favor, or you want to renew your motion, Representative Detmer, for it to pass and be re-referred to civil law, correct?
Yes, I want to renew my motion to pass this out of the committee here and into civil law.
All right. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you. Now, Representative Detmer, the bill in front of us now is House File 1821.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do have a quick verbal amendment that was brought to me by Mr. Purcell, and I told him that I would do that right away. I don't know if you have it here. Representative Purcell, did everybody get it?
No.
Okay, so it'd be a verbal amendment. Page 6, line 9, after the second period. Delete the word the and then insert at the request of the county board. The. I'll repeat that, page 6, line 9. After the second period, delete the word the and insert at the request of the county board, comma, the.
Mr. Cleary, did you get that? Okay. Just one moment, please, Representative Detmer. Yeah.
I'll repeat
that. Could you repeat it again, please?
Page 6, line 9, after the second period, delete the word "the" and insert "at the request of the county board, comma, the."
Discussion to the oral amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor... Oh.
Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Go ahead, Representative Detmer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. 1821 is basically taking current statute and making some amendments to the current statute. And today I had a meeting with MnDOT, and we sat down, and I know MnDOT is going to be coming up and talk about some concerns that they have with the language, and we feel we're going to be sitting back and working this language out. And but I did feel it's important that we do have this hearing on this bill, because I am going to ask that it be tabled, and then we'll be bringing it back. But it's important that we get the information out to the people on the committee. And I have asked Ralph Donais to come in and speak regarding the veterans-owned small business legislation that we want to bring forward here, and the current legislation that we also have in on the statutes, but the changes that we want to make. So, Ralph Donais.
Mr. Donais, welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record, please.
My name is Ralph Donais. I'm the chairman of the United Veterans Legislative Council. For those of you that may not know what that is, it's a council of 31 different veterans organizations that come together to work on veterans issues both federally and in the state. The overview of this bill to start out with kind of tells the whole reason why this bill is very important. Many of you that are from different areas around the state, if you look at your neighborhood, you'll see that many businesses in your part of the state came from veterans who came back from World War II, from Korea, from Vietnam. Those people came back to Minnesota, they established businesses, and where would they be had they not been able to get contracts to expand those businesses? Up on the Iron Range, many of those huge companies up there were founded by World War II veterans. So just the idea of setting aside and making sure that the veterans community can get their businesses going. What do you do when a job that you thought was going to be a weekend job, suddenly you're gone for a year and a half? Almost 2 years. What happens to your business? It's really hard to find somebody that you can say, hey, I'm going to be gone for a year. Would you take care of my business? It's extremely difficult. So when these people come back after having served our country, this is the least that we can do for them. And I want to personally thank MnDOT for stepping up and starting to make changes to make these things happen for our fellow businesses and our small business veterans. Originally, a lot of the contracts from MnDOT were set aside for what they call heavy, or putting the dirt down and pouring the concrete over it. And we would like to see that expanded to go into all aspects of a job, of a contract, not just laying, you know, smoothing the dirt and laying the asphalt or the concrete out. Myself, I can imagine and understand what these people go through when they leave and go serve our country. Representative Kriesel, you know exactly what we're talking about, having gone and served your country and given a lot. And it's just time for us to step up, say, all right, we're going to do what we need to do to take care of our veterans that are coming back. And I thank you for your time, and feel free to call me at any time on any veterans issue. I am always available to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Donais.
Mr. Chair, and this bill has been vetted pretty closely with the Military Action Group. It's for those that don't know, the Military Action Group is a think tank on veterans issues, and we have people from all different veterans organizations. The Secretary of State attends these meetings. We had the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs, General Commissioner Shelato, was in at our last meeting, And I asked him just to talk about veterans as a whole. He didn't have to go and support the language in this bill, but just talk about veterans. You know, the Department of Defense is going to be laying off, we can say laying off, about 100,000 soldiers in the next few months here. And they just are pointed, they're just pointed at the door, there you go. Even though they wanted to be a career military, they're just saying, hey, we're done with you and you're gone. They're going to be coming back. They're going to be getting working on their education and using their Montgomery GI benefits and so forth. A lot of the reserve component and National Guard, they'll be looking for continuing their education and maybe starting up businesses and so forth. And we want to keep those people here in Minnesota. And it's also been heard in the Small Business Caucus, for some of you that might be part of that caucus. And that, you know, that's something that it's a bipartisan group that are looking at ways that we can create small businesses here in Minnesota, and the veterans can be part of that. So with that, I would like to have MnDOT come up and speak to what they want to do too.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. If you could state your name for the record, please.
Thank you. I'm Mary Prescott. I'm the Director of Civil Rights for MnDOT.
Thank you. Proceed, please.
Okay. MnDOT is totally supportive of the veteran language, the veterans programs, moving those veterans businesses forward. We started the veterans program in 2009 with the first set of legislation, and glad to say that right now that veteran-owned businesses are receiving 5% of all our state-funded construction projects. So we believe that we could really grow that, and we're trying to grow that by building the capacity. We'd like to do really some outreach. Of that 5%, there's only like three vet-owned businesses that are getting the majority of those contracts. So one of the other areas that's not in here, but what we intend to do this year is to really do an outreach contract to grow the number of vet-owned businesses and identify those businesses that will be able to participate on the project. We also started a veterans project team about a year and a half ago that's part of our DVE and Workforce Collaborative, which is a group that meets monthly. We met this morning with eight stakeholders groups to grow the capacity of small businesses and workforce in Minnesota. And our veterans project team has been instrumental in both an understanding of what we need to do in Minnesota, but also for us to give them input of what we think would work in programs and in workforce going forwards. As Representative Detmer met, we met this morning. We didn't have a chance to really review the language until late last week. We are supportive, however, we think we can help strengthen the language, and we talked about that this morning, so we are going to be sitting down over the next week and really work on some of this language. And a couple, when I meet about support the language, in the line 2.19, for instance, it talks about goods and services, and we really want to get at what we call goods and services that aren't the highway heavy start in MnDOT is professional technical contracts, and that would open the door for, you know, vet-owned business that do engineering design and professional technical contracting really into the arena of getting a lot of contractors on that. A couple other things just to mention, it talks about the 14 stages, and we're just not clear what those 14 stages, it's not a term that we use in Minnesota construction industry, so just kind of an understanding of what that is. We also have a targeted group businesses program legislation that's been going on since last year, and that's also introduced, and we think our state-funded construction projects can allow for both programs to work successfully in Minnesota, so we really want to work on some language that will help both businesses, small businesses reports grow. I was explaining that this year in our DVE federal program, we not only have other reports to do, but we have a small business report that we have to say how in Minnesota transportation industry we're moving small businesses forward. So that's due February 28th, and I'm asking for support to write that piece of it. The other thing is just about having maybe some understanding of what some of the language means regarding set-aside contracts, if that's the terminology, or mandatory subcontracts, and just try to get an understanding so that when this is passed by your committee, we will have a program that I think will be strengthened and sustainable for a long time to come.
Thank you.
And again, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to thank MnDOT for coming in today and sitting with the research, Mr. Cleary, and we're going to be working on the language and bring it back to the community to the committee. And again, the purpose of this set-aside program is to contact bid preference programs for veterans-owned small businesses and to facilitate the transition of veterans from military to civilian life, and to help compensate veterans for their sacrifices, both men and women, and okay, to help them keep that pool talent here in Minnesota and become a more friendly state for veterans. I know the governor has stated that he wants Minnesota to become a more friendly state for our veterans. And we want to follow through with this language and work with MnDOT so that this is something that we can really go forward and be proud of what we're doing here in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Detmer. Questions for the testifier? Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Prescott.
Thank you.
Anybody in the audience that would like to speak to the bill? If you could approach the podium and state your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. Thank you. For the record, my name is Tim Werke. I represent the Associated General Contractors of Minnesota.
If you could spell your name for the record,
please. It's W-O-R-K-E, Tim Werke.
Thank you.
And I represent the highway heavy contractors as part of our association. We're the state's oldest and largest construction organization. We have some 450 members. In particular, we represent general contractors in the highway and heavy division. And I first of all want to apologize to Representative Detmer and not having had the chance to approach him and discuss a few of these items, and appreciate his willingness to listen to some changes or some concerns. But my comments are mostly general for the committee, and then I have a couple of specific things that I think will be considered in terms of working on the bill. But I think you heard Ms. Prescott talk about the DBE and Workforce Collaborative that MnDOT has put together. I've been part of that group for almost 3 years now, since its inception. And we really, as general contractors, have been looking to that as the forum for consensus on program requirements as they relate to contracting in general and contracting requirements, and would hope that some of these issues get vetted through that group. The other thing I wanted to say in general is that, and I'm sure all of you are well aware, but the construction community has been probably hit hardest of any sector by the recession. And so we are in a depression-style marketplace right now. And if you look at MnDOT bids, you will see that they've been very competitive. And the margins or the difference between bids has been very close. With regard to these kind of program requirements, whether it be DBE or whether it be this type of program requirement, when they become the basis for the difference in the bidding environment, it really creates some concern and some unsettledness with contractors as to how the bids were measured, how they were assembled, those kinds of things. So we really want to engage on a program like this and become part of how it's put together. We also have concerns that when new programs like this are put in place in the competitive marketplace, it is not without it is not without putting burdens on small businesses. And I should point out that over 90% of our members employ fewer than 20 personnel. And a program like this has certain requirements that you have to comply with and certain measures that you would have to go through in order to prepare a bid. Those things take time, take resources, and take staff, and I just would hope that the group or the committee would consider that in terms of those types of costs that might be brought to bear. Lastly, is just an observation from a general perspective that as the program has existed now, it has been difficult to find certified veteran-owned businesses. We hope it becomes more easily accessible in the future. I think as more veteran-owned small businesses come online, it'll become more easy. But my members tell me now that when they have these requirements in the contract documents, that it's been a difficult slog for them to find and approach these veteran-owned small businesses as part of the requirements. The last two items I have are more specific to the bill, but I believe in lines 2.33 to, I think it's 2.35, I may have misrecorded it. There's a provision that allows the commissioner to establish financial incentives and penalties for meeting or exceeding the veteran-owned business participation goals. I draw your attention to the fact that goals in and of themselves are subjective, and developing those goals on that subjective basis and then in turn issuing reward or penalty on that subjective basis from our perspective is problematic. And I know this is an inherent aspect to both the DBE program and to this veterans type of program, but anytime we can limit subjectivity as much as possible in the bidding environment, it is more I think more fair and more equitable for all. The last I would draw your attention to is 3.1 to 3.2, and I guess I would ask a question, and maybe I've been able to answer my own question as I looked at this closer, but it appears we're exempting veteran-owned small businesses from the same requirements as non-veteran-owned businesses, and I think it comes maybe in the definition of what is a small business, but let me point out that within the highway heavy market, there are a few right now established long-term veteran-owned highway heavy contractors. And I think it would not be the intention of this bill to, unfairly advantage those businesses over their non-veteran-owned counterparts by not allowing them to, or not requiring them to be subject to the same requirements as non-veteran-owned businesses. I don't know if I said that accurately, but what I mean is that there are a few veteran-owned established highway-heavy contractors, and if we exempt them from having to comply with the same requirements that other non-owned veteran-owned businesses would have to, I think it sets up a dynamic to possibly unfairly advantage those contractors that are not, or that are veteran-owned. So I appreciate, again, the opportunity to just give you some general comments. We would pledge to work with Representative Detmer and the Senate co-author and would very much like to see the bill improve and progress. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Werke. Any questions for the testifier, Representative Ansel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You look good there in the having the gavel there.
Thanks.
Representative Detmer, Mr. Werke's testimony and the role that the signatory contractors within the AGC can play, I suspect are going to be really critical to putting together a package where all the stakeholders can reach agreement here. A group of stakeholders that are that you will find very, very interested in the bill, of course, mm-hmm. will be those union members who are signatory to the contractors of the AGC, specifically the Laborers Union and the Operating Engineers. So I hope you'll reach out to them as well, because they can help shape this and make this a really good product for everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that comment. And two, and we will be working on this, the language in this bill, and I would hope that Mr. Werke would be involved with that and bring some insights and in what we need to do and put it together and bring it back to the committee and then go forward with the legislation.
Further discussion to the bill. All right, we will be laying over the bill to discuss at the next committee. Thank you, Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's all the bills we have to hear. Any important business before us? All right, seeing none, there will be no meeting next Monday, February the 6th. Our next meeting will be Monday, February 13th. at 12:30 p.m. Till then, meeting adjourned.